We know what needs to be done.
No one is free to insult the sanctities of 1 billion Muslim human beings.
What, you agree that Rushdie deserves to die?
I agree, he deserves to die.
As long as he looks after me out there, I don't worry. You told me.
It's religion. I don't know, it's a bit dodgy religion.
I find his remarks deeply offensive. Yeah.
The Reverend Ian Paisley said that the Mass was, in his words, a blasphemous fable and a dangerous deceit.
And now it's time for the Mark Steele solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Mark Steele Solution, the programme where each week I come up with a radical proposal to change all of our lives for the better. And this week's proposal concerns religion. Because all religions, as they are today, seem to cause more problems than they solve. I went to Sunday school and all I got taught about God is that I should be terrified of him. Now, children, you remember the words, so sing along with Miss Prannick.
Say a prayer for Jesus before you go to bed. Say a prayer for Jesus before you go to bed. For if you don't say him a prayer, you'll find your goldfish dead. Say a prayer for Jesus before you go to bed.
Wherever you look, whether it's Sunday school, songs of praise, Ireland or the Middle East, religion seems to cause fear and bigotry and lies and wars. And that is why tonight's solution is that people should have to change their religion every Monday. Now, there are some very good things about religion. It teaches us not to think of ourselves as the only thing that matters. It says that there's more to life than material possessions. It provides comfort in times of grief. It's given us gospel music, stained glass windows, Malcolm X, Easter eggs, and it stopped Cat Stevens making records. But the trouble is religion as it stands at the moment. So the most important part of any religion seems to be the rituals and the dogmas, but they're not the bits that matter. Saying amen and being blessed with holy water and having to face Mecca all have reasons for why they started, which had nothing to do with God. For hundreds of years, the Christian church insisted that all services were held in Latin. Now, this is either because Christianity spread in Europe at a time when Latin was the dominant language of the literate class who wanted to prevent ordinary people from reading the Bible themselves, or was it that God, despite being all-powerful and all-knowing, only understands Latin? So for centuries, all these peasants were going ipsum, dipsum, fitsum, lipsum. And if one of them went, all praise to Almighty God, God was in heaven going, what's that one on about? And finally, they abandoned Latin in favour of 14th century English. So as a kid, you'd be stood next to your auntie at a wedding going, thine that doth thus art thou that doth this. We might as well have been reading out the Italian bit on the instructions that come with a roll of film.
Let us put our hands together and pray.
Attenzione, prendo il film per mano, cerco sprocchetto, fullo rewindo, ensuro il cembro e fometto. Amen.
And these people that do try to modernise the language end up making an even bigger mess of it. Oh God, who is in heaven, you're my best mate, you are. Straight up, fancy a pint. Amen. Most of these rituals are just historical accidents. For instance, Jews and Muslims are told not to eat pork because the pig is an unclean animal. But the real reason is that at the time that this was first written, they didn't have fridges. So pork went off. It's like if a religion started now, there'd be a commandment, thou shalt not eat British beef. And then in 2,000 years' time, there'd be all these priests going, eateth ye not of the bullock's flesh, for its moo is the moo of the devil. And because the rituals become more important than the original text that the religion was based on, like the Old Testament or the Quran, it becomes easy for people to use religion as an excuse for starting wars, because both sides can claim that God is on their side.
Right, men. Welcome to the Somme. Tomorrow we launch an all-out assault on the Boche to capture some extremely important mud. Now, the padre would like a few words.
Right, chaps. As you go into battle, please do remember that God is with you. For God is particularly keen that a small hillock in northwest Belgium be restored to Allied control. For does it not say in the Bible, "Lo, and the ports of Belgium belongeth not unto the Hun, and neither doth that cowshed by the 7th trench from the left." Now, some of you may be a little concerned that if you were to die in great numbers, this may create rather a hefty workload up in heaven. But let me assure you that God has taken on extra staff at the pearly gates, and so you need have no worries on that score.
Now, another problem with religion, as it stands, is that while all creeds say that getting spiritually close to God is what counts and that possessions don't matter, you can't help noticing that most holy places are dripping from top to bottom in gold. Now, how has that happened? Unless these people really believe that God is a spoilt 17-year-old girl, and that whenever they buy something for a temple, God goes, "Is that it? A goblet? There's not enough diamonds in it. If you really love me, you'd get me one of them solid gold cherubs." And so much of religion relies on fear. I was 8 years old and being taught that God flooded the entire planet, wiping out everyone except for his two mates and their pets because people weren't worshipping him enough. And then that he made Abraham take his son up a mountain to kill him, and that then he destroyed an entire city because he didn't like anybody in it, and one woman saw him do it, so he thought, uh-oh, a witness. So he turned her into a pillar of salt. Now, I think the real question here is not so much is there or isn't there a God, but more, if there is one, who wants to worship an old bully like that? See, at the moment, with people sticking to one religion all their lives, it's easy for them to be terrified, because you never get the chance to realise that what for one religion is a sin, for another is part of the service. So you're not encouraged to judge each activity on its own merits, which is how they can get away with saying that something as natural as enjoying sex is wrong. If there is a God, he must be up there going, "No, don't stop doing that, that's what we gave you those bits for!" The way things are, religion could make people believe that the most natural act is a sin.
Good evening. Tonight we look at the continuing debate within the church between the so-called modernisers and the more traditional wings, such as Archbishop Tennyson, who joins me now. Archbishop, now we've heard a great deal in recent weeks about the latest issue which is threatening to tear the church apart. So what, in a nutshell, is your position?
Well, quite simply, we believe that the church has to give firm guidance on moral issues, and that is why I will not waver from my view as a Christian that it is wrong under any circumstances to urinate.
But Archbishop, how do you answer those within the church who say, look, we may not like it, but going to the toilet is a fact of life. I mean, we're just going to have to jolly well learn to accept it.
Jane, when I read that a school in Shrewsbury, children as young as 5 are being provided with toilets, well, I mean, if that's not encouraging people to urinate, I don't know what is.
No, but, Archbishop, surely, some people will say that if you don't provide toilets, then people will end up urinating in back streets and alleyways.
Well, they should have thought about the consequences before they decided to have a drink.
But there is one other problem with religion as it stands at the moment. It's absolutely barking mad. So only 60 years ago, millions of Japanese people believed that the emperor was literally a god. And then, at the end of the war, he just went, "Oh, right, then I'm not." This is just such a brilliant twist to normal religions, because most religions start off by taking an ordinary bloke and turning him into a god. And he started off as a god, and then just turned into an ordinary bloke. People who take the Bible literally don't even take account of the most basic flaws in their argument. Like, if God created everything in 6 days, how is it that new creatures appear and old ones die out? Surely the hymn should go,
"All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. But when he made the dinosaurs, he must have got it wrong. And he ballsed up with the dodo, it didn't last that long."
See, religion is just a way of explaining things that we don't yet understand. Nowadays, nobody believes that if there's a thunderstorm, it means God's angry, because we've got blokes on the telly talking about isobars and high-pressure fronts. But in biblical times, they must have had weather forecasts like this.
Hello. Well, I'm afraid there are still no signs of those locusts easing up. God obviously very cross indeed there, and remaining so throughout the weekend, with perhaps a touch of pestilence in Israel, as a result of a blasphemous front moving in from Assyria there. Now, over here in Damascus, the townspeople have sacrificed a goat, so we can expect bright sunshine up until at least Tuesday. And moving across to the Sodom area, the people here have been very, very wicked indeed, so we can expect periods of mighty destruction breaking out overnight. So if you're travelling in the Sodom region, do take an umbrella, and whatever you do, don't look back. All right, good night.
And whenever you're arguing with someone about whether God exists or not, you reach a point when the answer comes back, ah, but you must have faith. But why? It's like if someone said, in this room, there is a giraffe. You can't see it or touch it, but we know it's there. And you'd say, well, where is it then? The room's only 8 foot tall, there'd be a hole in the ceiling. And they'd go, ah, the giraffe moved in mysterious ways. And then there'd be all these debates about should women be allowed to enter the room with a giraffe in? Should shops be open on the day when we should all be going to look at the giraffe? And there'd be these agnostics going, well, I'm keeping an open mind. I can't say that there is a giraffe, but then again, I can't definitely say that there isn't. And you think, well, why not? Every other room you've been in that has contained a giraffe has had straw in it and a tall ceiling and has had giraffe mess. And it's smelt of giraffe and, most importantly, it's had a giraffe in it. So clearly, sticking to the same religion all the time just doesn't work. It only causes problems. The only question is, what do we put in its place? Well, before we look at the alternatives, let's hear from our regular correspondents, live from number 9, Begonia Close, the voice of the cul-de-sac, Mr. Cul-de-sac.
This is the sound,
this is the sound of the summers.
Religion? Don't talk to me about religion. They were going to have one of them monasteries round here for Trappist monks. I said, I'm not having them in the neighbourhood making a racket all hours of the day and night. And what about them Hare Krishnas clanging up and down the high street all day long selling their books? I've been trying to sell a lawnmower. You don't catch me in Oxford Street singing lawnmower all day long. It's an outrage. And look at that Pope straight onto the runway, falls flat on the ground. If he can't hold his liquor, he should stay on the plane like Boris Yeltsin. And look at the money the ancient Romans used to waste on crucifixions. It was a waste of ratepayers' money. They could have spent that money hanging people. What about all them Jehovah's Witnesses? I said, haven't they let him off yet? There's enough of you saw him. You should get another lawyer. And another thing. Why do the hymns on Songs of Praise have subtitles? They shouldn't be singing in foreign. And what about these devil worshippers? I rang the social services. I said, there's a bloke across the road dressed in black, lighting candles, subjecting children to strange rituals and chanting. They said, that's the vicar, Mr. Cul-de-sac. I said, oh, I can't help that. Don't blame me if your goat goes missing. And look at them Hindus. Believing in reincarnation all over the place. I said, oh, no, you don't. I'm not having you coming back as a butterfly nibbling holes in me lettuce. And what about them Quakers? What about them Quakers? What a stupid religion that is. Fancy worshipping porridge. I've been writing some letters to God. Here they are. Dear God, last year I prayed for a giant marrow. I didn't get one. Now you want some money for your church roof where you can sod off. Here's another one. Dear God, I thought you were supposed to know everything. Well, how come you've never won the lottery? Here's another one. Dear God, why? That's as far as I got with that one, but it's coming on, don't you think?
This is the sound, this is the sound of the summers.
Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. And so what other alternatives are there? Well, nowadays there's lots of these New Age religions that believe in the power of crystals and pyramids and incense and rebirthing. And these people are forever telling you how they're at one with their senses and their aura and they can pick up the vibes in any environment. And yet, strangely, the one thing they don't seem to be able to pick up is that everywhere they go, they meet loads of people who are all thinking, who invited this pillock? Another alternative to religion is to believe that our lives are guided by the stars. The number of people you meet who seem like perfectly rational human beings, and then all of a sudden they go, when's your birthday? You tell them and they go, I knew it. And I think, well, why do you bloody ask then, you liar? Imagine what the news would be like if there was any truth in astrology.
Good evening. The Chancellor in his budget forecast today predicted that the annual rate of inflation would rise by 2.8% for Capricorns. But for Scorpios, it would remain at around 1.2%, as it was a good time to put money matters in order and make the most of opportunities that have been neglected for too long. In Guatemala, it's been confirmed that yesterday's plane crash claimed the lives of 164 people, all Virgos, as you would expect, yesterday being a bad day for travelling. There were 23 survivors, all Geminis. And now the weather. Librans can expect frequent sunny intervals with a high of 16 degrees, while for Cancerians there will be scattered showers, occasional thunderstorms, and a chance meeting with an old friend. And now, over to the sports desk for tomorrow's results.
So what's needed is a way of keeping all the good things about religion, but getting rid of the dogma and the blind faith, which is why the only answer is to make everyone change their religion every Monday. Just think of all the advantages. You couldn't have people from one religion hating someone from another, because next week they might be that religion themselves. So Ian Paisley, for example, might become a Rastafarian. Then he'd be stood outside Belfast Town Hall with a red, gold and green banner saying, "Aye and aye, says no surrender." Irish Republicans would have to sing rebel songs like, "Come out you black and tans, and I'll fight you like a man, and I'll tan your Greek Orthodox hide." See, at the moment, people believe that the rituals themselves are important, that God really cares whether you say ipsum or dipsum. Whereas, if you had to do a different set of rituals every week, you'd have to concentrate on what religion is really about and why you believed in God in the first place. So you'd still have the mumbo-jumbo, but no one would really believe it. It'd be just for fun, like Father Christmas. Bishops wouldn't be held in awe, they'd just be jolly fat blokes with silly hats going, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the ho-ho Holy Ghost." You'd have to have a much broader view of religion. So you couldn't have that small-minded, neighbourhood-watch Tony Blair type of church, because under this scheme, one week you might get an Islamic fundamentalist Terrian June. Praying to Allah the Merciful, dear.
Well, don't kneel on the carpet. I've only just hoovered it. Oh, no, who can that be?
Oh, that'll be the chap I met at my writer's group. He's coming round to borrow a biro.
Hello.
Terry, don't you know who that is? It's Salman Rushdie. Oh, Terry, mind your tea. Oh, look, there's the Imam walking up the driveway.
Oh, quick, you'd better hide in the cupboard with my golf clubs.
Oh, hello, Imam.
Oh, hello, June. I'm just on my way for a game at golf. I wondered if I could borrow Terry's clubs.
See, no one could be so dogmatic. If you were a Muslim, you would have to be forgiven for missing the odd prayer, because one week the leader of the mosque might be a Trappist monk and would summon the faithful by climbing up the top of the tower and going... And the Church of England would have a broader appeal, because every week people who had been part of other religions would join it. So you might get a Rastafarian reggae star who's suddenly making a record to raise money for the church roof.
Hello, Mrs. Armitage. Welcome to me jumble sale. Like to try a rock cake. One that I and I bake. This'll make the vicar grin, 'cause it's got a pound of ganja in.
And another advantage. If you change your religion every week, no church would bother to acquire priceless works of art in case one day the Pope converted to be a follower of David Icke and went, "Here, you see that ceiling on the Sistine Chapel? Paint it turquoise, will you?" And our scheme would be better for atheists. Because atheism would be like any other religious belief. You'd be allowed to practice it, but only for one week at a time. So you might even get atheist evangelists.
Brothers and sisters, hear me, for I bring you good news.
Yeah, tell us about this.
Yep. For I have spoken to a senior professor of microbiology, and he has explained the mysteries of life to me. He has told me the secrets of evolution.
Oh, praise evolution.
He looked deep into his telescope, and he enlightened me as to how the Big Bang Theory says that the universe was created by an explosion of matter and is therefore constantly expanding in conjunction with time itself.
Ooh, hold on, telegram. You're losing me now.
And now, brothers and sisters, if there is any amongst you who is sick, who is lame or suffering from pain and illness, make yourselves known to me now.
Yes.
Well, I say this to you. Get yourselves to a doctor. I can't do anything for you. Yes, sir, that is a nasty cough. You shouldn't be here spreading your germs. Go home to bed.
And under our scheme, no one would be born into one religion, or brought up with just one set of rituals, so you'd be able to choose which ones you fancied following for a week. So, with this element of competition introduced, religions would have to curb their silly excesses, because no one's going to join a religion that says, become one of the chosen people and let a doddery old bloke with shaky hands chop your foreskin off with a scalpel. Instead, religions would have to start advertising.
Burying someone?
Yes.
Then it's high time you switched to new ultra-theological religion.
It sounds good, but what is it?
It's a brand new church that gives you all the spiritual comfort you'd expect from a religion without the aggravation of eternal damnation.
Great, so how does it work?
Simple. In our church, there are no penalty points for saying ipsum instead of dipsum. So hurry, hurry, hurry to join the rational, go-ahead, down-to-earth, common-sense church of Tharg the Mighty Tulip.
Please note that the outcome of prayers cannot be guaranteed and all miracles are subject to availability. Converts are advised that souls can go down as well as up. And so, with the Mark Steele solution in place, let's join a typical morning at Sunday school.
Yeah, come on.
All right, children. Now, come along. We are here today in the presence of God and Allah and Buddha, the Maharaji Sri Chinmoy, and Boyzone. Now, before we begin, let's all thank Timothy, who last week became a Muslim fundamentalist and raised £300 towards Christmas presents for poor children by holding a sponsored fatwa. Well done, Timothy, yes. Very good. Now, that's all right. Did you all read the parable of the Good Samaritan?
Yes, miss.
And what did you learn from it? Aaron?
The richer a bunch of bastards, miss.
Exactly, Aaron. Now, I think it's time to sing a song, don't you?
Yes, miss.
Are you ready, Miss Pranit?
Uh-huh.
Always feed your goldfish before you go to bed. Always feed your goldfish before you go to bed.
The Mark Steele Solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Maria McCurlin and Kim Wall. The producer was Phil Clark.